Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. I'm very happy to have with me in the studio today for University Matters, Professor Paul Bartolo. Just a few words about my guest. Professor Bartolo is a professor at the Department of Psychology within the Faculty of Social Wellbeing. This faculty is a new faculty, but of course the Department of Psychology has been going at the university for many years. He set up the School Psychological Service back in 1990 and then moved on to the university where he developed the training of educational psychologists. Professor Bartolo was the president of the Malta Union of Professional Psychologists, and he is now the president of the International School Psychology Association. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, sir.
So today, what we're going to talk about is about your subject, about the educational psychology and what that really means. And then we'll speak a bit about your new position. I mean, I know that you've been president-elect for 2 years, but now you're actually the president of this association, and it's doing some very interesting work, so I hope we'll manage to speak about that as well. Perhaps just as a start-off question, I think that, or a comment really on my part, that perhaps there are some misconceptions sort of out there about what psychology is about as a field of study, and possibly there are some misconceptions that we could easily dispel. Mm-hmm. What about that?
Okay, so first of all, that psychology has several branches. It is always about human behavior and human motivation, but then it is applied in different areas. So we have, for instance, in my case, education psychology is applied to child development, the learning. So we're concerned about when children have, particularly, we want to promote healthy development. Preventive, you know, work. We do preventive work. But at the same time, when children are having difficulties coping with either life in general at home, but also at school, so with learning, so any learning difficulties, relationships, social-emotional difficulties in development, then we would be experts in psychology and also education. So we combine the two, and we are able to therefore support children and their families and teachers also in enabling children to flourish in all areas. Of course, there are then other branches. So, for instance, in Malta, since 1999, we have been training clinical, counseling, and educational psychologists. So I've been the one for the, but we usually have around four each. It is a 2 years master's professional training. We're thinking maybe also to deepen it as well, and also have other branches. So we have now been supplying a number of school or education psychologists that are seen as very helpful for children and the schools.
Of course, an undergraduate degree in psychology is the basis.
Yes.
But then really a postgraduate degree is a must if you're going to be going out to actually call yourself or work as a psychologist.
Yes. With a first degree, it's a preparation for work in different areas. Some people work in human resources, teaching, in other areas. To become a professional psychologist and be able, because we also had in 2004, we worked towards and passed the law forewarning of psychologists. So you cannot call yourself a psychologist unless you have been properly trained and you have a warrant.
That was a big move for
it
you.
It was, because, you know, there are many quack psychology people, you know, who
call themselves psychologists, but really are not trained enough
exactly,
to be psychologists.
Exactly, and it is, we feel very responsible about not harming clients, because you can harm clients when they are in this intimate way of working. They are very vulnerable, and also the people who seek our services are usually people who are in vulnerable situations. So
sometimes it is very important. People mix up psychiatry with psychology. Yes. Perhaps you could define the difference between those two professions.
Yes, the main difference is that psychiatrists are in the first place medical doctors, and then they become psychiatrists and they prescribe medicine. In Malta and in most places, psychologists do not prescribe medicine. So our work is done through talk, listening, and so
I was going to say a lot more listening than
more
talk,
listening,
probably.
More listening, but I mean through this verbally.
Interacting.
And of course non-verbally as well, but in terms of interacting rather than use of medicine.
You mentioned clinical psychology. What are the differences there? What is that exactly?
Yeah, the main difference really is that educational psychologists work normally within the schools, whereas clinical psychologists work normally within the hospitals. So that is the basic difference. But because there are overlaps, because psychologists then, as a psychologist, you end up specializing in particular areas. For instance, I am an educational psychologist, but I specialized in assessment and support for children with autism. So, you know, and it could be a clinical psychologist who does that. So there are these overlaps. There are these overlaps, but normally the main difference is where we work. Because clinical psychologists also mostly work with adults, but they work with children as well. But whereas we, in education and school psychology, work more with children and their families. So the adults we work with are the parents usually and the teachers.
And where does counselling fit in the picture of things?
Yes, we should ask the counselling people. But it is, so counselling is works in all areas. So you can work in the schools, you can work in health, you can work marital counseling, and so on. So it's more in, and it's counseling is part of every branch. So clinical psychologists do counseling, educators do counseling, but so it's more focused on I think work. It's social emotional,
and requires issues. Specific training, of course.
Of course,
very specific.
Of course,
training.
Because then. You know, when talking, for instance, of psychotherapy, really one should be a psychologist, and they're specializing in psychotherapy. So, again, there are these areas.
Well, returning to your particular area where you have the expertise, educational psychology, you said you go into schools. How does that happen? Do people ask for your advice? How does that rapport work?
Yes. Now, parents have realized that when their child is not, or teachers, that a child is not coping with expected tasks, you know, like you're expected to walk at around 1 year, 1.5, to start saying your first few words at that time. So then when you go to school, you're expected in year one to be able to read words, you're expected to be able to take care of yourself, you know. When children are not coping with, we say, why is the child not coping? And so we help the children themselves, parents and teachers, to understand what is causing difficulty for the child, and how can he or she be helped to succeed. This is to achieve, to develop his or her potential. And so you know, it could be various difficulties. We also work with persons with disability, or but also with learning difficulties, also with social-emotional difficulties, like sometimes also relationship with the parents, relationships with teachers, which interfere with, and relationship with peers, I mean, among themselves. So bullying, for instance, and so on. So we are supporting the children to flourish despite the challenges.
So you would be asked by a particular teacher or a particular school to come in and help?
It would be always, when the psychologist is involved, the parents' consent is actually. So sometimes the parents go directly and ask for that support, and sometimes it is the school that first approaches the parents, and they say, we need to see how we can support the child. And, you know, also for the child to get support, actually, there is a need for an assessment by a psychologist and a report and so on, also for children to get extra help, extra support in the schools.
And here in Malta, we mentioned before that there's an association of psychologists, of which you were president at one time. So here you are organized in a group, I presume.
Yes, there are two associations. And now they are cooperating. It's good that we have found a way of cooperating. And, of course, each one has its own
particular interest, perhaps.
Yes. But there are people who are members of both associations and so on. So it's now, I think it's very healthy. We had also collaborated to get the pass the legislation, you know, and so on. We have been active since the early 1990s, and the Malta Union of Professional Psychologists was immediately concerned with being an international circuit. So we joined the EFPA, the European Federation for Psychologists Associations. I used to attend the congresses there, but that is for all psychologists, all branches. So. And then within it, there is now a network of European psychologists in the education system. And that's where actually now I continue to attend. I represent also ISPA in there. So I used to be part of those. And so this was the interest and the engagement. It's because also, for instance, one of the things we had, our training, for instance, we used to require that a school psychologist, an education psychologist, would be a teacher first as well, besides being trained in psychology. But at European level, there were a few who are doing it, a few not. Then there was this discussion, and we came to an agreement that it will not...
necessary.
So we joined. And also we developed a European diploma for psychology. Now, there is actually... an arrangement for one to get a certificate as a psychologist at a European level. Of course, when you go to work, it's still not yet part of the system. There are some seven professions that where your certificate can be accepted in Europe. But it is a development along those lines. And then from there, you know, the International School Psychology Association. It's interesting because it is now about our work, our role as educational school psychologists. So you feel that all the conferences dedicated to these issues that we are interested in. So it's sort of your passion for education psychology, you know, for supporting children and their families and schools and the communities. You feel you can develop it and share it with others.
Of course, because here, I mean, we have a lovely microcosm of society, really.
Exactly,
here.
Yeah.
But obviously, going beyond our shores is always important to everybody in whatever area. I've had so many academics in front of me here at this table, and they will all say the same thing. This is key, being able to.
Absolutely, because we're small, but the university, through work resources and so on, has given us the opportunity to actually seek and be able to link in this way, because attending conferences is very important. And in fact, we not only attend, but we also organize our conferences ourselves.
Yes.
And in fact, I was able to get elected because I was the only one from Malta who was a member of the association at the time. But we had, I had convinced people we could organize the conference here. And in 2009, we had organized this, the annual conference of the International School Psychology Association. And
how many delegates were you on that occasion?
We had around 300. And it was a success because at that time, 2008 was the crunch, you know, so people couldn't get funds to come, but we managed. And we had 42 countries represented. So
amazing.
So it was, both the scientific program was very good. People could share their research and so on. And also, not only the research, also we have committees meeting. So meeting on child advocacy, meeting on consultation approaches, meeting on accreditation and so on. So we have these committee meetings as well during the conference. And it was very successful in that way. And of course, we managed also with Malta. It's a very good venue where people enjoyed it. Also, we fed them well. So it was a very, up to now, so 4 years later, you know, when people meet me, so especially American ones, so that they say, "Oh, that was a really good conference." It gives you, you know, and it was because of that success that I think people felt that I could contribute also in the leadership of the association.
Do you find when you go to conferences and you hear other people speak, do you find that there are commonalities, that you find that there are different situations which we don't have here, or different attitudes perhaps to certain problems that are maybe common to everybody? How do you find that rapport with the other countries?
Yeah. So first of all, there are some common challenges that we have to face. We try to promote psychology, school psychology everywhere, and one of them, 2011, went to India, and they are still, school psychology is not so well developed. In fact, it's more in the private education areas. And so when teachers were asked, you know, what challenges do they face that need psychological support from psychologists, and many of the challenges are similar. But yes, then there are different ways in which roles are played. For instance, here we have counselors in the schools. You know, in some places, it's I was in Portugal. We had the last conference in Porto, and two psychologists invited us to go to see their service in. They are in two private schools, actually. This large private schools of 800. One is a church school, and the other is independent. And these are so in a school of 800. From young ones to, so there are four psychologists, and they are really doing great work, you know, in terms of working with also with the head of school, and preventive work with children, working in collaboration with the teachers, and so it's and there are in places, there are other places where school psychologists are based in a school. Here they are based at the center in Malta, for instance, but they are serving now by college, you know. So the number, how many psychologists for how many schools, how many, what number of children, varies. The roles also. For instance, in France, they still also work with in career counseling as well. For instance, whereas this here is done by somebody else. Again, some work here, for instance, we have been inundated with work with assessment for getting support for, you know, for the child at school, extra support, or for access at examination, access arrangements, you know. So for dyslexia, you know, we have to for dyslexia, for autism, yeah, for ADHD. So for getting extra time and so on. So this is part of the work, but there is a lot of other work that psychologists do in different countries. Sometimes, for instance, as I told you, this emphasize more the preventive work.
I was going to ask about preventive, because we mentioned, you know, that you're called in when there's a problem. But
exactly.
I would imagine that one of the things you would like to do is that the problem doesn't occur
exactly.
anyway. Beforehand. So,
for instance, I myself have been involved in promoting inclusive education, and the idea is that if teachers and schools are able to welcome all children and are able to see to the needs of all children, then there will only be a few referrals, you know, fewer referrals, because children feel accepted, understood, and also the teaching is, because this is a tuning into the child, you know. Teachers are trained for this, but, you know, but we tend to be then, have expertise in this understanding, where is the child failing, where is the child finding difficulty, so tuning into the child's problem solving, to the child's way of working, way of learning, so and also creating the context, because again it's a big challenge for it's a big challenge for teachers when teachers prefer to have a homogeneous group of children and work with them, and it's easier. But we know that for the sake of social justice, for the sake also of the best development for children and society, that it is children should be learning together and learning to live together while learning together. So but this is a big challenge. So again, we can help with this, because it's the importance of understanding the dynamics in the classroom, children's relations. Because one of the things, for instance, I have promoted is I worked also, we had that focus group on inclusive education, and is that how the child feels accepted does not apply to children who have difficulties only. All the children, they want to be accepted. They want to feel part. They want to feel important. They want to feel valued. So if we can develop this idea, that children feel valued, then there will be less individual problems of children. And this is what, of course, there are some places where, for instance, we gave an award to one for working in Vietnam. And, he was telling us how the children there are suffering great violence. Now, we have child abuse in Malta as well, and we have to work against that. We have to try to prevent it by educating people about children's rights, about children's needs. This is the preventive work, okay? But in some places, I mean, where there's war and so on, they are suffering much more, and there's much more need for support. Mm-hmm. And that is also another area, for instance, that we have been promoting. Associated with us, started from amongst us, and then is associated. It's a training center for European Training Center for Psychology, and they do crisis intervention. So they organize, and we have had also colleagues from Malta who attended this, like how to support a class, a school, and families when, for instance, a child suddenly dies in the school, or there's it creates a crisis. Now, of course, other places they have, in America recently, they have had these shootings.
Uh-huh.
So, again, a psychologist actually also was killed.
Or even Abruzzo, or the earthquake, or
yes.
Something like that, where
yes.
They
yes.
need the child psychologists.
That's
really.
Right. So it's a crisis intervention at a group, community, or national levels mm-hmm. also.
I noticed that the title of the 36th annual conference, which is going to be in Lithuania, is actually Children's Rights and Needs, Challenges to School, Family and Society.
That's right.
So that's really what you're going to be discussing.
Yes. The International School Psychology Association, which was started in 1982, has always been a promoter, of child rights. In fact, we also, by the way, belong to UNESCO, so we are we have consultant status mm-hmm. with UNESCO, and we contribute to policies and developments there, especially with regards to the policy education for all. And so next year is the 25th anniversary of the UN Convention on Children's Rights. And so we are promoting it. We have, actually, as a president, this is one of the things I've done, that I have set up a particular committee. We have expertise. We have one of our colleagues actually developed a training on children's rights online, which people can actually take up online. It isn't meant for psychologists, but also teachers and so on. So you can do the course online to promote the idea of child rights. It is so we are going to try to develop actions, for promoting child rights among children themselves, and also among parents, teachers, and society, to see that as much as possible we respect children's needs, because rights are based in the first place on essential needs for healthy development, but then also in terms of reducing discrimination and damage to children by those who exploit them.
Do you find that here in Malta your professional voices in general are heard by the policymakers?
So,
or is that a hot question?
So and so. Yes. Sometimes I have I myself have been involved in, for instance, in the training of education officers, we can also, or heads of school. So we have been involved in that way. But I think we can be involved a bit more also in terms of, as you said, we can contribute to policy development as part of, we are not the only ones, but I think that the healthiest way in which policy and action can be developed is through multidisciplinary involvement, and because people, there are different aspects of needs that need to be addressed, and we come from this holistic, we are concerned with the holistic development of the child, we want the child to develop in a healthy way, to flourish, and that there are many sides to this, and especially the socio-emotional, which sometimes we emphasize, for instance, the academic and forget the social-emotional, that in the end is the one that probably...
Will help the educational, will help the academic bit as well.
Will help the academic bit, and in life is very helpful for getting success, for getting along with people and succeeding in life. So it's a very important area that we are very concerned about. But we are also concerned about helping children to achieve learning. How, for instance, the area of the gifted as well, is an area that we have not worked enough in, but also is a concern for us.
Well, thank you very, very much, Professor Paul Bartolo, for coming on University Matters to discuss a little bit about psychology today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.